your smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd Up!
All right, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast, and here with us today, we've got a whole bunch of fun stuff, and I'm just telling you, just get ready for it. But before we go any further, let's do the intros. First of all, I'm Guilty Wilson. You can find me on Twitter, at Gil Wilson.
I'm Eric Billingsley, and that's at Eric Bill, E-R-I-C-B-I-L-L.
And bring you up the rear, I'm Tim Matson. You can find me at Tim Gone Mad, T-I-M-G-O-N-M-A-D.
And what a nice rear it is, too.
I've been working on that. Work those glutes.
Well, I guess that makes sense since you've been installing a catwalk and modeling now. So
yeah.
Okay, yeah, as you may notice, first of all, I kind of got a heads up. Tim may sound a little different this time around. It's only because he's using a different computer configuration to connect with us. It's still workable, though. So just people all of a sudden think, oh, my God, his superhuman powers have cut in. No, he's not. He's not become an android. He's still Tim Matson. And all right, here's what we got to do today. We've got, of course, we'll do the typical talk about TV and movies. Then we're going to take a little bit of an insertion into the podcast. It's time for this month's unboxing of the Loot Crate. And Isaac, actually, it's funny because we got the Loot Crate. By the way, Eric, this month's theme is dragons. You would have loved it. A lot of stuff from
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones on this one, yeah.
Aww.
And Isaac got the Jon Snow vinyl figure, so that's pretty
cool.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, and it's all about dragons, and I think also Skyrim was involved with it. Yeah, Skyrim, because he got one of the vinyl figures for Skyrim, and a whole bunch of just dragon goodness, so we'll be inserting that. Actually, what had happened is that Carnage kicked Isaac out of the house, and Carnage did the unboxing, and he's the one opening the Loot Crate this month. If you want to check it out, Isaac's video to the Loot Crate unboxing is linked on the Nerd Up Podcast page, which is nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. For those of you that are subscribing through RSS or through iTunes, you might want to check out the website. Once again, nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. Isaac's video is linked there, and actually it's Carnage's video, because Carnage is unboxing this month's Loot Crate. And it's actually kind of entertaining, even though I was too scared to say anything through the whole video. So then we're going to talk about some books. And, of course, leading into comic books, I got one book in particular that I've got to share with you guys. That's why I got books as a separate category this time around. And then we're going to talk about comic books, and mainly we're going to talk about Free Comic Book Day. We're going to give you a little review of some of the titles that are up for Free Comic Book Day. That's coming up Saturday, May 3rd. That's your local favorite. Go to freecomicbookday.com. Find out if your favorite comic book store is participating. Some are, some aren't. Mostly, if you're in a big city somewhere, you're definitely going to find one somewhere that's going to take part in this. I have to drive a couple hours to Charleston, Illinois, to go to get mine. That's about an hour and a half, maybe. So that'll be interesting. I have to go to Free Comic Book Day every year. And this year, they got some cool titles up. Let's see here. Well, guys, let's start it all out. Let's talk about television. And our favorite, we'll start off with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They killed off Patton Oswalt. What was up with that?
Yeah, I've got a problem with that.
Yeah, they could have just tied him up.
Or he could have killed Ward. That would have been preferable.
That would have been really cool, too, actually. I think so. Because, in the Brainiac world, okay, that's the Superman reference, I guess. In the Marvel world, nerds rule. And a nerd like him could have taken on Ward somehow, some way. Yeah, the Hydra is still got control, of course, of S.H.I.E.L.D. And well, of whatever. They're still in the bunker. Although Coulson and who else? Fitz and Simmons. And what's the other guy's name? The one that used to be with the they all went off on a mission, and
was the grandson of a Howling Commando.
Yes,
reveal.
Yeah. How about that reveal? That was kind of cool. I was like, Howling Commandos. Holy cow! I haven't heard about those guys in a long time. Okay, well, since last Captain America movie, anyway. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool little idea thrown in there. I don't know. It's just basically continuing its TV going on. And did you hear, guys? Marvel is talking about launching another Marvel-based TV series.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what it is yet. Any ideas? Anybody heard anything different?
Mm-mm.
Oh yeah, it's they're discussing an Agent Carter series.
Oh really?
Yeah, they're discussing bringing that to the television as a limited run series.
Well, that'd be kind of an interesting idea. Kind of like along the same lines as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Then again, who knows what they're going to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so...
I really hope they stay the course on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I really have this great fear that they're going to waste this momentum and bring Ward back into the fold as a good guy again. He's way more interesting as a bad guy.
I can't see them bringing him back in after all the people he's killed. That's... I just don't see that happening. I mean, just how do you wipe that clean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, betraying S.H.I.E.L.D. is one thing, but, you know, murdering all the people that he's murdered, and there's no way you say, oh, he really didn't kill him, because we've seen him kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, Patton Oswald is certainly dead.
Yeah, yeah. There was blood dripping from the ceiling and everything, yeah. Well, see, even if they came up with some crazy comic book concoction about how he didn't really, he just rendered them unconscious or, you know, in a coma or whatever until they could, you know, revive them, you know, like comic books do. Even if they did that and then said he knew what he's doing, he's trying to catch Hydra, even if they did that, I think that would be a loss. I think it's like, no, make him the bad guy. Make him the guy that, you know, he knows the insides of at least this team anyway. You know, make him the person they're constantly chasing or whatever the case may be, or occasionally chasing.
And let's be honest, I mean, as much of a fan of Bill Paxton as I am, Agent Ward is much more of a significant threat to S.H.I.E.L.D. than Bill Paxton's character is.
Yeah, and like I said, especially to this team, you know, because he knows all their psychological ins and outs.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, yeah, let's see what happens with it. I think that if they've got the potential, and if they listen to fanboys like us, maybe they'll get it done right. And with the Agent Carter TV series coming, that ought to be interesting, too. So,
then being really disappointed that they killed off Patton Oswalt. That's the biggest thing.
I know. Right? That, to me, is like, that was like, aw. I had to go and, you know, go surround myself with puppies and kittens for a couple hours just to get back in a good mood. So,
well, he could have been a really interesting and you know, integral recurring character, but it just felt like, oh, okay, Patton Oswalt wants to be in the show. Let's write him a part, and he can only do two episodes, so let's kill him off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
He could have been a recurring character.
I kind of would bet that that's exactly how that went down.
But hey, he's Patton Oswalt, he can do it.
But I did like, even though she was a little too smooth about it, I liked that, okay, you know, we all know that Sky is kind of the central character here. She's been the proxy for the audience through the entire series, you know, that, you know, as we get acclimated to S.H.I.E.L.D. and what they're all about and the ins and outs, we see it through her eyes, and she's always been kind of the outsider, and only just before S.H.I.E.L.D. was taken down was she invited to actually be an official part of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's the only one of the team who hasn't gone through training. She is not a quote-unquote spy like the rest of them, although I guess Fitz and Simmons, they're not really spies either, but they did go through the academy,
right,
which Sky didn't do. So Sky is, you know, she's progressing as the show goes on, but she really isn't a full field agent at this point. But what we see in this episode is that she discovers that she's been played by Ward and that he's really a double agent, and you think, oh, you know, she's going to spend the rest of the episode running around the facility trying to escape him. What she does is kind of surprising, that she comes on, she accepts this, and she's like, okay, I'm an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm going to act like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she comes in and pretends like nothing's wrong at all and does almost too good of a job of it, considering that she's not really done this before. In fact, in the past, when she's tried to pull off a character or any kind of subterfuge, she kind of is unsure of it and kind falls through most of the time. So it felt, but I mean, she had made attempts in the past, so maybe I'm being too over scrutinizing this, but she did seem almost too cool and too in control of things when she came back, considering how much she was freaking out just in the scene prior. It would have been nice though if like when Ward looked away or something, that you saw this kind of look of doubt cross her face or something that, you know, that she's not 100% confident in what she's doing. You know what I mean?
Plus, then again, it also gets, I mean, right now, I mean, it looks like she's going to try to do everything she can to stop Ward, that she's caught on to it, you know, to what he's doing, or at least a little bit of it. But at some point, there was, I was like, well, maybe he could lure her into the dark side, you know, or the Hydra side. So
yeah, they might try to play that thread, but I don't think that, I mean, really, does anyone think that that, you know, that Skye's going to get pulled to the dark side. I don't.
Nah.
No.
No. But it was a hope.
They might try to make you think she's getting pulled to the dark side, but I don't think that there's any chance that she really will.
That might be a ploy on their part. Is like, hey, will she or will she not? Be kind of like a Ross and Rachel thing, you know?
Good Lord.
All right. Any other TV shows you guys want to talk about? You guys probably aren't keeping up with Arrow. It's ongoing. And actually, Arrow, if they do it right, it's like they're spinning off with the Flash series, plus they've introduced the Suicide Squad and actually made a whole episode about the Suicide Squad and one of their missions. Arrow could, it looks like the groundwork is laid down, could do what Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing for the Marvel movie universe. They could actually spin a lot of stuff off this into movies and actually have what, you know, Marvel's got with their movies. They're really doing a really good job of introducing characters, places, and ideas from the DC universe.
Yeah, but I just don't get a sense that they will that they'll carry that over into the films. Yeah. I kind of feel like this is totally separate.
Yeah.
Everything is walled off.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true. But they have that potential. If they'd only latch onto it, they could really do something with it. Like Marvel's done. But then again, we got Marvel to compare it to. So, but yeah, Arrow, they're doing a really good job of introducing the DC universe. Maybe that's what we'll have with the DC Justice League is what they're introducing in that world. But then again, I don't know if you guys. To me, it just seems suspicious that the whole DC universe movie making lately has gotten real mysterious. I saw that they cast somebody, again, is jumping from TV to movies here, but I saw they cast the role for Cyborg.
Right.
And I'm like thinking, well, Cyborg? What's he doing? Oh my gosh, I guess they might be working up a Justice League movie.
Briefly, I finally watched the final episodes of Helix, and I wasn't really impressed. I'm curious to see now that they're out of the facility where the show's going to go, but I'm thinking, okay, this is really something you should have done around mid-season of the first season. But, you know, I don't know, the whole thing with Julia, now she's the evil head of Ilaria. It's just a little too predictable and too much of a writer trick when we've seen nothing from Julia except, you know, as a quote-unquote good character.
Right.
And now how many days later is it, like, you know, less than a year later, she's supposedly maybe she's just undercover or something. I'm sure that's probably what we're going to find out. But it just kind of made me groan when I saw that last shot. I was like, really? Come on.
Well, to me, it gave me kind of an idea of, like, a glimpse of the future, within a year. They built it up. I think they've got enough mystery and intrigue that's going to get people to come back for that second season. It's like, well, what happened between there? I want to see that. So I think it's just going to be enough mystery and intrigue, but you're right. It might have been a bit too much, though.
I actually hope they don't go back. I hope that when the second season comes along, they pick up where they left off with them out of the facility. And they can do, you know, if there's anything that needs to be explained between the in that intervening period, they can do it in flashbacks, and I really hope that's the way they go, because I'm just sick of the facility at this point.
I know, me too. It was after a while kind of like, okay, they're still there. But yeah, you're right. Maybe that's a good idea, though, the flashback sequences.
Yeah. I mean, it's been done before, you know, when they I've seen shows that skip ahead in time, and then you see the bits and pieces that happen in between. In fact, I think Lost did it during one of their seasons. But now another show that I've got recorded that I haven't watched yet, but I'm kind of excited to see it, and I've been hearing good things about it, is WGN's first foray into original programming, Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Which have you watched? Did you get to see it?
I saw a couple pieces of it. I haven't yet watched the entire. Something else was on at the same time, and so I had kind of just switched to it to see what the scenes looked like, and it looked pretty decent. I haven't, you know, I didn't, like I said, I didn't watch it. I just kind of looked at glimpses of it while the commercials were happening on another show I was watching. So, but yeah, I'm gonna at least try out that first episode, see what happens.
Yeah. So it's on my immediate list to watch. I watched. I always talk about this show, but every time I watch a good episode, it just gets me so excited. I have to bring it up again. Hannibal. Hannibal's episode on Friday was just. I mean, it's so out there. And I mean, here's the thing about the show, and this is probably going to be. There's a lot of things that we've discussed before. That make it a hard sell for people. You know, the graphic violence is definitely one thing. The kind of bizarre nature of all the characters makes it can be a little off-putting for some people. I know it was for Tim Matson. But the another thing is that it's not a quote-unquote realistic show. it's very much, the whole thing has this kind of nightmarish feel to it. It's got a dream logic that doesn't make sense. I mean, okay, just an example. A couple episodes back, the guy that that they found in the parking lot that was like basically integrated into a tree, the victim had basically been grown into this tree and had been eviscerated and his organs replaced with plants and flowers of sorts. And they found him, the tree had been transplanted into a parking lot, okay? So you see the way that it was presented is it looks like the tree had grown up out of the asphalt, okay? Because you see the broken asphalt and like it had literally grown out of it, okay? This would have taken so much time and more than one person and certainly more than one night in order to accomplish something like this, but it's just kind of taken for granted because it's an artistic flourish. Now, that might trip up a lot of people, and there's a lot of things in the show like that that don't stand up to realistic scrutiny. But I like the fact that they don't adhere to that sense of realism, that it really is this kind of nightmare logic. And it just, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but every time I watch it, and this last episode was very much in that kind of nightmarish stream of consciousness, that it just, I don't know, it just pulls me in, and it really feels like you're inside Will Graham's nightmare. And I think that that's kind of the intention of the entire show, is this is very much a subjective show from Will's point of view. Even though you see scenes happening that don't involve Will, it's kind of all filtered through his consciousness. But anyway, it was a really creepy, good episode. Just that didn't adhere to logic. The killer in this particular episode, just, you know, I mean, they didn't go into a lot of detail because really what you see happen isn't going to be possible, but it doesn't matter because it's a nightmare. But just wanted to throw in a promotion. I think next Sunday, 24 returns. So all my 24 brethren out there, set up your DVRs and get ready for the return of Jack Bauer.
You're ready for that, aren't you?
Oh, I am so ready for that. I'm scared that my expectations may be too high and I'm going to wind up being disappointed, but oh well.
Well, let's see. Let's move on to movies here. I want to talk about, first of all, Amazing Spider-Man coming out this week. Isaac and I will definitely be there in the theater, either on the night, they can show up midnight before, you know, like a Thursday night when it opens Friday. I think that's how it works out. We may get into a preview running of this before it is launched. And either way, Isaac and I will have to do what we call an emergency podcast in which we review the show from our point of view at that moment immediately after the show. So right after Amazing Spider-Man 2, expect a podcast, what we call it, a zero issue maybe, but we'll throw in that podcast before we all get together again next week. So we're going to be ready to review that. On top of that, I got a list of some upcoming movies here, some movies in the making, and I want to get you guys' take on these. I'm going to go from bad to good. I'll start out with the bad movies first and let you know, see what you guys think about these. But the first movie, it's in the making, and I can't believe why. My question is just why, but Human Centipede, the final sequence. Charlie Sheen's porn star ex, Brie Olsen, and Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts?
Yeah, they're going to be in the final film. For those of you that don't know, it's about a sadistic doctor who drugs his victims, sews them together, you know, mouth to anus linkage. I have not seen a single movie in this series. Basically, Eric Roberts told in an interview to Entertainment Weekly, he said, this third installment involves prison inmates and is, quote, really horrible. As if the other ones weren't. I saw the previews somewhere about the first one when it came out a few years ago, and I asked my stepson, I said, have you seen this Human Centipede? He goes, don't watch it. He said, it is sick. And that intrigued me even more, but I never have watched him. What do you guys think about that? Eric Roberts in Human Centipede.
He took my thumbs, Manny.
Oh, God. Talk about slumming.
It's like Charlie Sheen's ex-girlfriend, Brie Olsen, is in this as well. It's like, that should tell you right there the level of entertainment you're going to get out of this. But I think Julia should have at least said, Eric, stop, you know,
okay,
at some
I'm
point.
Gonna, I'm going to jump in here and out myself as having watched the first two installments in this series. Now, I will actually say that the first one, they're both just beyond demented and disgusting, but the first one actually had a little bit of an artistic flair to it. It's hard to describe exactly what to elaborate upon that, but there was a certain quality to it. If you can get past the really just repulsive nature of the entire film and pretty much all the characters in the film, but from a clinical perspective, it was kind of interesting as a filmmaking experiment. And definitely, I mean, the filmmaker, Tom Mix, I think his name is, or Six. Tom Six, that's it. Tom Mix is the guy that does the we'll leave the light on for you commercials.
No, wait, I thought Tom Mix was the one that, he ate his bagel cheesily. Anyway.
I don't know.
Tom Baudette is the...
Yeah, there we go.
That's right. I don't know why.
anyway,
we digress. I don't know. He's definitely aware that this is transgressive cinema, and there's something to be said for that. I'm not as much into it these days. I don't have the stomach for it that I used to, but I mean, I was a huge fan of Takashi Miike, which is this very prolific Japanese filmmaker who's worked in multiple genres, but he's always been most well known because his stuff is really out there and pushes the borders of cinema. If people are familiar with him, it's probably from his most popular film, which was called Audition.
Oh, I've seen that.
Okay, that's Miike. But that is probably one of his mildest films, if you can believe that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just any number of films out there. Ichi the Killer is probably the
most... I loved that one.
I was surprised you've seen it. Not a lot of people have seen Miike films other than Audition, but very, very gory and just really out there. And I mean, he's very much aware of pushing the boundaries of cinema and what is considered acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for a long time, he was one of my film heroes, and I still respect him a lot. But like I said, I don't quite have the stomach for his films that I once did. But anyway, this guy, Tom Six, is in that same area, although I won't say that he's quite as talented as Miike, but he is... He's working in that same area. So there is something to be said for the first one, as over the top as it gets. The second one is just horrible. I mean, it's just there is nothing redeeming about that movie at all. it's just disgusting for the sake of being disgusting.
Right,
so,
that's what I heard about that one. Well, now we got a third one with Eric Roberts. All right, well, let's move on. Here's another one I found. This one has got me intrigued, mainly because I was a fan of the TV series. But Baz Luhrmann, he's reportedly in talks to direct a big screen adaptation of Kung Fu. Yes, the TV series Kung Fu that, you know, David Carradine played the Shaolin monk, Quiet Chang Kane. Yeah, and, you know, in the martial art, there's a great martial art show. It was really cool during the 70s. It was, you know, I Seek Water, and then he kicks somebody's butt. I don't know, if Luhrmann signs on, he would reportedly rewrite the current script that they've got going before filming, because he's not happy with that first script, so that's why he's in talks right now. But what do you think, Baz Luhrmann, Kung Fu?
I would say I'm generally down for anything that Baz Luhrmann does. It's really, it's interesting cinema. It may not be your cup of tea, but at least it's something interesting to watch. Yeah, I don't really know that he would be like the first person that comes to mind when you mention this movie. But then again, some of the more interesting things can come up that way. You know, I like what he does, but I just don't know that Kung Fu is in his wheelhouse.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that after he did Gatsby, he thinks he can do anything, or they think he can do anything anyway. I don't know. First of all, I was a huge fan of the 70s, and by the way, I hear that they're actually going to cast an Asian person in the role rather than David Carradine. Of course, they can't get David Carradine now, but still, they're going to get an actual Asian person in the role of Quiet Chang Kane.
I guess my big thing is Baz Luhrmann is known for his more ostentatious set designs and scores and his use of the camera, and Kung Fu just seems like such a stripped down property that it just doesn't seem to fit.
Well, I'll jump in and say that it's analogous to me to Wong Kar-wai, who just did the Master, which is a Kung Fu epic. But Wong Kar-wai is known as this, you know, very much a visual, sumptuous visuals, and more very personal love stories and personal stories is usually his area of expertise and where he usually and his subject material. But and I haven't seen The Master yet, although it's high on my list to watch. but I've heard really good things about it, and it works as both as a decent, you know, martial arts film, but also it is very much a Wong Kar-wai film, in, you know, in the way that the he presents the visuals. So I could see someone like, even though I'm not a huge fan of Baz Luhrmann, although I did really like his Romeo and Juliet, I could see him kind of merging his style with the kung fu movie. I could see that happen.
Okay, we'll see what happens. It's in the works. They're talking with him. And again, like I said, he's wanting to rewrite the script they currently have. So if he gets to rewrite the script, then you know it's going to be something turned around to where, from his point of view, or rather, you know, his unique style. So that'll be a good one. All right, well, that's all I got about movies. Anything you guys want to talk about movies?
Well, it's not very nerdy, but I just watched a streaming film the other day because I just heard it. It just came on streaming, and I'd heard lots of really good things about it. It's called Short Term 12. And it's a very small little indie film with Brie Larson, who's probably the only actor that you may or may not have heard of, who's a young up-and-coming actress who's very talented. But the premise is it's a you know, it's one of these short-term foster homes where these, you know, it's a facility. It's not little. It's not really a person's home, but they take care of these kids until the social services decides what they're going to do with them. So they're mostly there for less than 12 months, although they say at one point that they've got a few kids that have been there for 3 years. The film could very easily devolve into this, you know, saccharine kind of you know, manipulative tearjerker. And there are definitely a few scenes that will probably affect you emotionally, but it's not done in an overtly manipulative way. It's very straightforward, personal, from the heart. And it's a really neat small story about how damaged human beings can heal themselves by helping other damaged human beings. And I know that as a description isn't something that would make most people want to run right out and watch this movie. But it's hard to put into words what makes this film so special, but it really is worth seeing, and I would recommend it to anyone. It's just, I mean, some really, really good acting and really good writing. I mean, for the first 20 minutes or so, I wasn't sure where it was going, and it didn't grab me right out of the gate. But after the plot and the story starts to develop and you see what's going on, I was in it for the whole ride. It was very, very good.
Hmm. And what was the name of that
again? I don't
know.
I think your description sounds pretty eloquent.
Yeah.
It's called Short Term 12.
Okay.
And it's on Netflix streaming.
I see that
it got major accolades last year, and a lot of people were disappointed that it didn't get an Oscar nomination, or that Brie Larson didn't at least get an Oscar nomination for best performance, because she is very, very good in this. But it's a small indie feature. It probably got some attention at the Independent Spirit Awards, I'm guessing.
Well, I will say that part of the reason I'm so ill-prepared this week for our podcast is that I've been putting together an independent film festival here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I've been watching a bunch of small indie films, little short films, and some of them are absolutely fantastic. Mm. It's such a treat to watch some of these films. There are some great work being done out there. If anybody's interested, they can go to greensborofilmworks.com and check out our upcoming events. If you're going to be in North Carolina, come on down and see our films. But it's been a lot of fun to work on this. It really is. I have been watching every single one. I'll be putting together the screening. We're showing independent films the first Thursday of every month.
Well, it sounds like a busy schedule for you, but it sounds like a really cool event, especially if you love film. Not every day you can go and watch Avengers film or Captain America. You need to go out and you branch out and get some subject matter that's not necessarily action. And that's what I like about independent film.
I love film festivals, and that's the one of the big major things I miss most about Chicago is they had some really good film festivals up there. But if I was out that way, Tim, I would totally be participating and helping out in any way, because I love that stuff. I mean, I used to frequent the Big Muddy Film Festival, at Southern, or it was. I don't know if they still do that or not. And I saw some really good stuff there, but they always tend to lean more towards the documentaries, not to knock documentaries, but I can only watch so many documentaries before my brain just shuts down. And they were very, very heavy on the documentaries there. But I love film festivals.
Well, it's the democratization of film has really helped, you know, get the quality of film up closer to, you know, what you would see at a theater. It's so much easier to make a film that looks like it costs a ton of money when it actually did.
Now, what's the website again for that, Tim?
GreensboroFilmWorks.com.
GreensboroFilmWorks.com. Definitely give that a check, especially if you're in the area. Definitely go stop by. And, hey, maybe you'll see Tim there and tell him you listened to him on the Nerd Up podcast.
And if you're a filmmaker and want to have your film seen, we would be happy to take your submissions. You can just send it to me. Contact me through Twitter at Tim Gone Mad. We're actually screening a film from a guy in England on our first go out. So, yeah, we've got filmmakers from Austin, Texas, Washington State, and over in the UK.
Now you can officially say it's an international film festival.
It is.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a little bit of a little bump here. We're going to this month's Loot Crate unboxing. And once again, Carnage kicked Isaac out of the house and forced me to hold the camera while he did the unboxing. If you want to check that out, it's on the Nerd Up podcast page, which is nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. Watch the video of the unboxing. But here's an audio version of it.
Nerd Up Podcast.
Greetings, fellow adventurers. Wait a minute. That's the wrong intro. Oh, well. We're here to unbox Loot Crate. I kicked Isaac out of his house, by the way. His dad, for some reason, is still here. So this one's theme is dragons. I love them because they destroy towns like me. Oh, and if you couldn't tell, I'm Carnage. So the first thing we've got, it involves Skyrim as Dragonborn. Probably because the Elder Scrolls Online was released this month. There's a lot to do this month with dragons. I love it. It has symbiotes on it. I honestly didn't expect that. It's beautiful. I'm gonna open this. There's an unboxing within the box. Oh, great. Aluminum. I'll unwrap that later. What is next? Game of Thrones vinyl figure. Who did we get? It doesn't say. Well, that's fantastic. Might as well put the stuff up here. That makes it perfect. What is this? Oh. Nerds. Dungeons and Dragons. Get it? Because dragons. Dragon jerky. Why would I eat my allies? Oh well. They're going to be the first thing I eat after this. Maybe some humans. I don't know. A dragon shield. Oh. It's a cleaner if you have an iPhone. It's a dragon shield. It's beautiful. I can just taste it. It's beautiful. What else do we have? Another however many sided die. Only this one's real. It's beautiful. Everything is beautiful in this crate. Now what is this? A dragon slayer. Dog tag. That's what I was looking for. Yes. It's beautiful. And then, last but certainly not least, the Loot Crate pin of this month. I could put that on my symbiote right now, but I don't feel like it. I'll just put it on my tongue. Perfect! I can feel my tongue bleeding. So, just to round off, we got the Dragon's Magazine beautiful thing. We got Dragon Jerky. Might eat that with some humans. We've got the Game of Thrones action figure. Vinyl figure. Sorry. We've got screen wipes in the shape of a dragon shield. We've got a few. How many side dice is this? You're no help, Isaac's dad. We've got the Nord as a vinyl figure from Elder Scrolls Skyrim Online. We've got a dog tag that relates to being a dragon slayer. Although I'm a human slayer. And then we've got the pin, beautiful pin to wrap this all up. Into a nice little crate. That's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed.
Nerd Up Podcast. All right, welcome back. The symbiote has released me from the wall and allowed me to let go of the camera. So that's the unboxing of the Loot Crate. Back we are again to the podcast. Guilty Wilson, Tim Mattson, Eric Billingsley. We're here to talk about nerdy stuff. We're going to really get into the section here that talking about some good comic books coming up. But first of all, I got to talk about a book that I'm, an audio book that I'm listening to. It's A Million Ways to Die in the West. It's by Seth MacFarlane. Now, it originally started out as a screenplay, and then got adapted to a book, and then, of course, me being the audiobook lover, I picked up the audiobook. The audiobook is read by Jonathan Frakes, you know, number one. It was Riker. He's reading this, and it's so cool to hear Jonathan Frakes read a Seth MacFarlane book, because all the sarcasm and craziness. It's a Seth MacFarlane take on the Old West of 1882, and throughout it, it's constantly he's saying, well, here in the West in 1882, we don't, you know, whatever the case is that he's talking about at the time. And it's a very, I don't know, if you like Family Guy, if you like anything Seth MacFarlane's ever done, you know the type of sarcasm and the type of humor he has. And that's pretty much what it is, except with lack of flashbacks or cut-in scenes. But he's talking about, basically it's a story about this guy whose girlfriend has just broke up with him. And he's devastated, and of course he lives in the Old West. He's a sheep farmer who's not a very good sheep farmer. The book opens up with him in a gunfight. High noon is when the gunfight's supposed to occur, but the guy, the opponent, decides not to show up till about 12:15, and so he raises a stink about, come on, doesn't punctual mean anything to you? And so he strikes a bargain. He goes, look, this is the Old West in 1882. We don't have to die from a gunfight. I mean, everybody else does it, but we don't have to. Why don't we just settle our differences? I'll pay you for the damage. Apparently, his sheep got on the guy's cattle, grazing land, and ate up all the grass. So the guy, he owes him $35. And instead of getting shot, he worked a way to pay him off in a week. During this time, his girlfriend dumped him. Now, here's the funny part. Well, there's lots of funny parts. One of the funny parts is he's got a friend who, his friend's girlfriend, she works at the local brothel. You know, the Old West had those everywhere, right? She works at the local brothel. Now, the relationship between these two is just nutty. I mean, the guy is like picking up the girl. They won't have sex because, you know, it's premarital sex. They won't allow that. You know, it goes against Christian beliefs, even though she's a prostitute. There's just several scenes. It's just not right for anybody. It's for children of all ages, no way. But there's several scenes where she's just got off work, and they're getting ready to go out on a date. And
wait, she just got off work or got off?
Yeah, work? Yes, that too. Well, being the business end of it, she doesn't really do the getting off part. But there's a certain scene where he has to wipe something off her face and say, "Oh, you got something on," and you know, they move on from there. But it's just the goofiest thing. There's also everything can kill you in the old west of 1882. And there's a part where he meets up with this one woman, and they're talking about life, and they go out on the prairie, and they're just kind of looking up at the stars. And everything stops for a second because a diamondback rattlesnake is slithering around, one of the other many ways to die in the West. And as soon as the snake is gone, they just pick up the conversation right where they left off, but there's a moment of drama. I could see this on television. In fact, FX is going to be having a series based on this. It's going to be a short-lived series, of course, that they're only going to do a few episodes to tell the story in the book. They're not going to have an ongoing thing, at least not, I hope not anyway. It's just full of Seth MacFarlane's humor, the references made. He goes, "This is the Old West. For goodness sake, I have to go to the barber to get my teeth pulled." You know, and then there's a section where he goes to the doctor, and to fix the guy that he made the deal with to pay him off decides to shoot a bullet at him anyway and grazes his ankle. So he goes to the doctor for that, and one of the remedies is the doctor says, "Well, I'll just get me a blue jay to peck out that infection." And then there was another aspect. When he goes in for this checkup with the doctor, the doctor's operating on a woman, is full of intestines and stuff spread out on the operating table, and the cat is up on the table licking away at the blood, and the doctor wipes his hands on a cloth and says, "Let me look at your ankle," and he's touching it, leaving bloody fingerprints all over the guy. He says, "Don't you want to clean up first? Isn't there anything sanitary?" He goes, "I don't know what sanitary is." And then he goes, "What's this word you're using?" And then he helps him out, puts something on the bandage. He goes, "So what's wrong with her anyway?" And the lady that he's operating on, he goes, "Well, her stomach devil was about to blow up." And the character I associate, I think this is the one that's going to be played by Seth MacFarlane in the TV series. His name's Albert. And Albert says, "Do you mean her appendix?" He goes, "Her what?" He goes, "You're full of fancy terms today." It's a goofy book read by Jonathan Frakes, and Jonathan Frakes' vocal range is just great. He can act out all the characters in this book, and he's really good. So, Million Ways to Die in the West, check it out. It's worth it. It's fun. Let's talk about comic books. Free Comic Book Day coming up real soon. Woo! Real soon. May 3rd, Saturday, everywhere around the nation. I don't want to say around the world. I know the UK has a free comic book day, but I don't know if it's the same day. But anyway, they're giving all the comic book publishers are putting out free comic books. And what the idea behind this is, it's actually twofold. One, it's to get people to read maybe something different that you haven't, you know, already been, that you're not already reading. I mean, you get your selection of, like, numerous comic books. I never even bothered to count how many were available. There's lots of them, anywhere from, you know, Donald Duck comic books to, let's see here, you got, Guardians of the Galaxy, the New 52. In fact, a couple years ago, when the New 52 launched, they used Free Comic Book Day to, that was their launching point. And they use that to kind of tell what's coming up. But there's like Power Rangers. You've got also All You Need Is Kill, which is based on a Japanese manga or manga. We'll never get that one right. Based on the novel by Hiroshi Sakurazaka. I'm never good with those names. And I mean, that one's a pretty bloody one. You also got one that's based on a book or a story by Jonathan Mayberry. Jonathan Mayberry wrote a young adult series of books called the first one was called Rotten Ruin. It's a zombie, post-apocalyptic zombie novel or series, you know, the teenagers that are having to survive. And he's also written a bunch of other great books. Joe Ledger. He's like an agent with this organization that they go out and fight supernatural types of enemies. He's got a comic book out called V-Day, which the polar ice caps have melted. And all of a sudden, we have this what's called I1V1 virus, which is it unlocks a certain gene that we didn't know we had, which makes half the population vampires. And it's about the war between kind of like a post-apocalyptic, but some people are actually happy being vampires. So, but anyway, so there's a wide variety. Now, the original intention is that we were all going to pick some comics and review them. But didn't quite happen that way, did it, guys?
Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
Not quite. But I picked out a couple and to read and talk about. And Tim, did you ever get around to picking out a couple or reading a couple?
We can actually talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. That's one of the ones I actually did read.
Yeah. You weren't happy with it.
It was a waste of opportunity in my mind. It was super dull, and I gotta say, Agent Venom, it's not doing it for me.
Here's the deal. I'm a huge, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. You know that Venom and Carnage and Toxin and all the other symbiotes in the Spider-Man world are some of my favorite villains. I heard that basically they got rid of the Agent Venom comic book. They canceled that, and they were going to move him on to New Warriors for a little while. And then now they're going to move him on to Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, my question was, how the heck are they going to get Agent Venom on the Guardians of the Galaxy? Those guys are out in space, you know? Well, that's what this free comic book explains. It's a meeting between Agent Venom and, well, Flash Thompson and Tony Stark, talking about how they need a member, with the Guardians. And so he's going to be joining them, and that's what this introduced it. Yeah, I can see your point, Tim.
You were just wondering, how are they going to manage to do this? Well, they're going to manage to do it in the most boring way possible. He's going to be sitting in an office. Someone's going to say, you're going to go join the Guardians of the Galaxy. Who are they? Well, let me just list them for you and give a brief synopsis of who they are. Super dull. Super, super dull.
So how would you have done it different?
Drop him in the middle of an adventure. This is a comic book. It's supposed to be full of fun and action adventure. It's not supposed to be two dudes sitting at a desk discussing the lineup. That's just boring. It's a huge waste opportunity. If you are giving this to somebody who's a new comic reader and saying, okay, cool, this is going to be a movie this summer. I'm not going to want to see that movie. This is dull. This is unimaginative.
I see where Tim's coming from now. I would like to know this. They aren't comic books, but they work on the same premise. I think what Tim's talking about or would fall under that category. Firefly, a lot of those episodes would start you off in the middle of the action. You really didn't know what was going on until the episode got going, and then they would flash back to the beginning of the episode. They give you the exposition after they had your attention. And I mean, because exposition is a necessary part of any story, But it's all in how that exposition is fed to you. Another show that really did a good job of that was Farscape. Farscape, almost every episode would start you off in the middle of the action and then explain to you what was going on as the episode progressed. But if you have a comic book that's just nothing but exposition, I mean, that does sound rather boring. I'm surprised that they actually did that.
They did, like I said, it was Tony Stark and Flash Thompson sitting at the desk talking, and then whenever they say, well, who are these guys, when he described them separately, I thought it was a great introduction to the team. For anybody that doesn't have a clue who the Guardians of the Galaxy are, it was a nice little one-page write-up on each one of them. If you didn't know who the Guardians of the Galaxy were, I think this would be a good intro, but you're right. Putting them in the action, Agent Venom all of a sudden fighting alongside these guys, wait a minute, how'd this happen, and then show little flashback scenes. You're right, that could have been done a lot better.
My point is that a lot of the comics that I looked at were really, I mean, not their best foot forward. It's fascinating to me to pick one, Arcana Intrinsic.
Oh, yes.
It had, on the back cover, it has this beautiful Alex Ross painted cover.
I saw, yeah.
It looks really nice. On the front cover, it has something that looks really crappy. It looks like someone threw together in Microsoft Paint. It looked awful, and I absolutely am stunned that that would be the face you want to put forward.
Yeah, why not Alex Ross on the front?
Exactly. I don't get it. And, you know, the comic was really not that great anyway. But so many of these, I mean, this is going to be a reader's first foray into your material. You would want to put your best stuff forward.
Now, here's the thing, though. If I had seen that Alex Ross cover and opened the book and started reading, I would have been let down. Like, man, they rooked me on that. Because when you get inside it, basically, any of you ever read Hellboy comics? That's pretty much the same story, I thought, on that Intrinsic.
Intrinsic, that was pretty much just everybody else's ideas just kind of glommed together in one thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a thing in that comic that isn't done better somewhere else.
Yeah. But I remember seeing that Alex Ross painting, and I'm like, holy cow, that looks cool. Let me read that comic.
But you're totally right. Actually, that is a completely valid observation, too. If you had put that on the front, and then I'd opened it up and seen that god-awful artwork, I would have felt like, yeah, this was a trap.
Now, there were some good ones in there that were fun to read. First of all, there's one in there called Jellyby. Did you happen to read that one, Kim?
That one's absolutely adorable.
It's cute, and I can see that as a really fun story. The Adventures of Jellyby, and basically they got this little monster, and it's just the cutest little monster. And the storyline, like the whole pretending they were pirates, that was a cool storyline on that one, too. So
Mary Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes, there we go. That's what I was trying to think of. That's exactly. In fact, the artwork kind of slowly resembles that if you squint. Yeah, Jellyby was a good one.
That's a great example. That's a great example of an all-ages comic that is not, you know, talking down to its audience.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of Calvin and Hobbes, where it treats them with respect and you know, respects to the fact that kids have an amazing imagination.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, you're right, all ages right there. Although, you know, it looks like more of a childish type, but so did Calvin and Hobbes. But look at some of the ideas that came out of Calvin and Hobbes. You know, it looks like, you know, two children or a child playing with his toy. Yeah, but some of the concepts come out of that is like some of the most coolest stuff. So, but okay, let's go to another one. How about this? They're going to be giving away a manga of Les Miserables, and they're actually turning this into a complete manga run, or manga, whatever you guys want to say. But they introduced it with the Fall of Fantine. So what'd you think of that, Tim, turning a classic into a manga comic?
That's really cognitive dissonance right there. I don't know. I couldn't quite wrap my mind around what was going on here. Uh-huh. We have a very, very Western story told in an Eastern format. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. Now, here's my problem with all the manga comics that are out there. I just got through reading Attack on Titan Volume 1. Love the storyline. And I love the storyline of this one as well, mainly because I like Les Miserables. But I cannot stand reading backward. I mean, yeah, oh, it's just, I don't know, it throws me off. Every once in a while.
Just get it online.
I should. But it's like I can't. I read it backwards, and it's like I lose my place where I'm at. You know, I lose the storyline. I'm like, oh, wait, how did this? Oh, I got to go back to this point. They should, you know, for us dumb Americans, at least turn it around.
I don't know. It's I think you lose a lot of the charm of the manga.
Probably. The charm, yeah, but screw the charm. I want to read a good story. All right, let's see here. What else did I see? This is one. This is the one I recommended that we both read. Did you get a chance to read Sherwood, Texas and Boondock Saints? 12-gauge comics are the ones that came up with it. And Sherwood, Texas. If you can think of another famous Sherwood, then you've got the storyline. It's the tale of Robin Hood as told through biker gangs in Texas. And it was very, very interesting to see it turned into a biker gang. Very interesting to see, the whole sheriff of Nottingham County, by the way. And I mean, really, it was pretty creative turnaround. I mean, that was one of the projects when we were in theater. I believe it was one of the directing classes that you had to take a well-known story and tell it from a different point of view and direct. And there was a play because I was in a Keg of Molson, which was a little play that I was in. It was based on a cask of Amontillado. And I love the idea of taking a well-known story and turning around to a different point of view. But this one, it's Robin Hood as told through biker gangs. And I might actually pick up this comic because it looks pretty good. I like I've always liked the Robin Hood stories anyway. But that's what that one is about. But the flip side, it's a flip comic. You read it one way, hey, and you turn it over, and you still read it in the same order. You don't have to read backwards. But it's Boondock Saints. And, you know, the movie that introduced us to Daryl, Norman Reedus, I might have to pick up this comic as well, because I did like the, there's a lot of snarkiness involved in Boondock Saints, the movie, and also, you know, between the saints themselves, so to speak, but the comic book kept that going. They captured the feel of the movie, I think, and it opens up with them on a boat. I don't want to do any spoilers, because I want people to pick these up themselves. They're saving the town once again, so we'll just put it that way. But yeah, and the thing about this one, the artwork in this one is just so—it's so interesting. It's simplistic, but not. It reminds me a lot of Ralph Bakshi's American Pop. That's the one.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of what the artwork reminds me of. This, of course, Ralph Bakshi, you know, did the rotoscoping thing where he covered over film, colored over film. But that's kind of what the artwork reminds me in this book. So the title of the story is The Lost Gig, and it's a pretty good one. So, Tim, did you have another one?
How about an interesting take on Star Wars? How about Steam Wars?
How about, yes, I love that. I thought that was steampunk is, it's kind of like zombie novels, right? They're just all over the place. Steampunk is getting there, and it's pretty much, I think, still going strong. And the Star Wars version of that, I'm like, wait a minute, how are they going to do that? But they did.
I got to say, it's been a long, long time since I gave one crap about Star Wars. I mean, it really has not been a thing for me in years. They're pretty much, the prequels pretty much beat any kind of hope I had for a decent Star Wars out of them. But I got to say, this kind of drew me in with that steampunk aesthetic and a different, slightly off-kilter take on the story. I thought it was really interesting. And, you know, it's kind of nice to see something fresh associated with the Star Wars brand.
And the nice thing about it is, like, they kept this, like you said, it's a different telling. It's the characters represent, let's say, the ones from the movie. It's not Luke Skywalker. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head, but now I can't. But I went to look at the comic. But instead of a Wookiee, he's got a bear, you know, the Han Solo character. But it's Han Lo, or I can't remember his name. But Lo is his last name in that. But C-3PO is actually a wooden robot. And, but the ships themselves, they closely resemble the ones from the film. That's what I thought was intriguing, but they're made out of wood. I'm like, that's kind of cool. And they don't take place through the galaxy. It just takes place on, like, I guess, one country or planet. So.
And the thing is about this, it does drop you right in the middle of a big battle at the very beginning of the book.
Yep.
And it's action from the first panel.
Yep.
Something that Guardians of the Galaxy was not.
Yep. Yeah, I see your point on that one for sure. Because, you're right in the middle. Well, just like Star Wars A New Hope. That was, your movie starts, you're in the middle of this battle, and they're taking prisoners.
Sure.
So.
And do you feel like you don't understand who these characters are or where they're coming from at all?
No, not at all. I knew immediately.
Exactly. That's my point. That's where Guardians comic book completely falls on its face.
Yeah.
It does not get me excited for that property, and that's something that the movie really needs people to be, is excited to see that movie.
Yeah. Totally aside here, the comic book and the movie are going to be way different because, well, Agent Venom's in them. So. And what'd you think of the take on R2-D2 on this?
Yeah, I liked everything about it.
Yeah.
I think the whole comic was really interesting. I think it's very well done.
Yeah, that's a good one. So pick up Steam Wars. That's definitely good. And I've seen that, you know, on the lists of comics that are available digital and all that, and then at the comic book store. I've seen Steam Wars before, and I'm like, like you, Tim, I'm not a fan of Star Wars. I think the last three movies totally ruined it for me. And so I've never really been a fan. But this I've found intriguing. Now that I've read this, I may have to put that on my pull list because that looks fun. It looks like a lot of fun. All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for it. I may actually add this to my pull list.
Okay, then they, of course, another free comic book. This guy is a regular on Free Comic Book Day, The Tick. I was telling Tim earlier, I cannot read a Tick comic without reading it in Patrick Warburton's voice. But it's so fun. The story they had here, the hoarder is the villain, evil villain, and he's collecting cities under glass, much like, what was that? Was that Brainiac in the Superman that did that to Metropolis? Or not Metropolis, but to Krypton? And that's where we got Supergirl. But anyway, the hoarder collects everything, and in fact, he's created so much that he's got his own planet that has its own gravity because of all the hordes of stuff, the collections that he's got. But anyway, he's collecting cities. He happens to take the Tick's city, and so, you know, all the Tick's sandwiches are there. Sandwiches, Arthur! They have to go take the city back from the hoarder, and Arthur and the Tick are, you know, doing their good. And it's just a really funny episode, or funny issue. And again, just like Guardians lacked, it started you out in the action. There you go. Yeah, you're right. All right, I'm seeing your point now. So, but the Tick, Free Comic Book Day, definitely pick that one up. In fact, there's two stories in that one. It's got a little short story at the end about the Tick becoming Cowboy Santa. You got to read it to believe it. Any others you picked up, Tim?
One of the other observations I had was that the Smurfs need to go down a fire.
Oh, if Peyo could hear you now. There was another one. Oh, Zombie Tramp. You mentioned that, we mentioned it before when we talked about Free Comic Book Day. You said it looked like a woman you dated. I hope not in this case, Tim.
I did, actually. I'm ashamed to admit that's the very first one I opened up and read. And I have no idea why I did that. I have no clue who this comic is made for. Who is the target audience for this? Because I don't understand this at all.
Yeah, something about a zombie, a woman that was turned into a zombie, now she's, I don't know. Yeah.
Is it a female empowerment comic? Is it a male fantasy comic? I mean, is it there for people to see TNA? Is it a horror film comic? I don't know, man. I don't know who's going to want to read this.
Yeah, I have to admit that's one of the first ones I read, too. And I'm like, okay, I read that one. All right, now, one other one that I read, and I had to because it involves Rocket Raccoon, is there. I know Marvel Comics is launching Rocket Raccoon as his own line, as his own, he's got his own series, and I was trying to figure out, well, why are they doing that? I can't figure that out. Well, now I know why. It's because it's going to be geared towards the children, and this is a younger audience-based Marvel comic, Rocket Raccoon, and I thought it was pretty pleasant, along the lines of Superman Adventures, and there's another one of Batman Beyond, where there are children's stories told in the comic book form. They've got the great artwork still, and Rocket looks almost too cute, though. But then again, it's a children's comic book. Him and Groot are out to rescue this princess, and it ends up she's rescuing them, but the surprise is Groot rescues them all, so as is all the case with Groot. You know, I'm figuring out here, a total side, on the Marvel Avengers Alliance social game that I'm playing on Facebook, you can also get the Android app, or you can get the iPhone app, or you can play it on playdom.com. But anyway, it's one of those, you know, got to catch them all. They've released some new heroes. Rocket Raccoon is one of them, and Gamora is another. So they're slowly introducing, and they've done this all the time. They're introducing the Guardians of the Galaxy in, you know, preparation for the film release. But one of the things I'm thinking is when they introduce Groot, each one of the heroes, when they have it, you have four different moves that you use to attack with. And sometimes they're offensive, sometimes they're defensive. And each one's got a special name. Each name tells what the thing does, what each move does. But I'm thinking when they release Groot, they need to have every single one of his named I Am Groot, but do a different action. I think that's the best thing, because in this comic right here, everything he says, as usual, I am Groot. But each time it means something new. And I like that whole concept about Groot. It only Rocket Raccoon can adequately interpret.
Like Coco from Foster's Home.
Yeah, like Foster's, yeah. Groot and Walrus is one of the heroes. He's a walrus, of course. And he's in this little comic. But yeah, they're Rocket Raccoon. Marvel Comics is releasing that on Free Comic Book Day. It's more of a children's comic, but I had fun reading it myself. Scam. This one, it's cool. It's kind of, okay, basically, we've read it before. I will tell you that. I will warn you. In the lines of Deadpool, you've got a little Lobo mixed in there from the DC world. Basically, the guy's a mercenary that wears this black and white mask, and he doesn't really break the fourth wall, but it's told in one of those old film noir styles, like, you know, where the detective narrates the whole thing. That's kind of how this the comic runs, and he's just a smart aleck mercenary. And we have read it, but the Image Comics have got a good release on this one. So in other words, Free Comic Book Day, there's a lot of good stuff out there. There's some that aren't so good either. You'd mentioned that the Smurfs should just burn, but I think we should also add to that pile Archie. I have never been a fan of Archie comics.
Yeah, but isn't there a new Archie run where it's like a zombie comic?
Yeah,
I've heard about this.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen it, but I was like, okay, I got to check this out at some point.
I think they only did a few issues. I haven't. I've got the issues ready to read, and it's Afterlife with Archie or something like that. And yeah, it's a whole zombie series. I haven't read it yet, but I've got it ready to read just in case. It's like, okay, I'm curious, but not curious enough to read it yet. Yeah,
just in case. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I have to know what is the situation? What does it have to be for you to have to read this comic?
Desert Island, and that's the only one I've got.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it's not looking good then.
No, not really. But I got them. I've got the comics. Made that first move, but just not yet. I got other ones to read that are more important. So, but yeah, it's got me intrigued enough. But I've never liked Archie. Of course, if my wife heard me, she'd kill me. She was a big Archie fan way back when. Yeah, just Betty and Veronica didn't do it for me. Oh, okay, let me just kind of go over some of these titles that for Free Comic Book Day gives people some ideas. Power Rangers, they're out there. Let's see here. DC New 52 Futures End Special Edition. This one is supposed to like kind of wrap up this what they're doing with DC, the New 52, and start anew. I mean, DC uses Free Comic Book Day to really push their story along. Let's see here. Of course, Bongo Comics, you know, the Simpsons comics are out there. Avatar, The Last Airbender. Even Hello Kitty for you kids, for you that have little girls that want to read a comic
Woo-hoo!
Book. There you go. SpongeBob. Here you go. Transformers versus G.I. Joe. That ought to be interesting. Uncle Scrooge. Jellybee, I highly recommend that one. That's kind of cool. Hopefully it's as good as the intro
Absolutely.
Is. All You Need Is Kill, which is based on a Japanese novel. Atomic Robo was kind of interesting. It was set in Centralia, Pennsylvania in 1962. Basically, if you know your history of the United States, Centralia, Pennsylvania, they had a big fire underground. Or what it was, they set fire to the dump, and it happened to be close to a coal mine. And so for years, the coal has been burning underneath the ground in Centralia, Pennsylvania, and the place is closed off. Well, anyway, it's surrounded there, but there's somehow that coal mine fire has also allowed monsters from other universes and multiverses to come in and attack. So Atomic Robo fights them off, and it's kind of a cool, interesting story. You got that's intriguing on that one. Buck Rogers, hey, he makes his appearance in comic books.
Beady, beady, beady. What's up, Buck?
Yeah, Grim Fairy Tales, definitely not intrinsic. At least Eric and I don't. I mean, Tim and I don't agree with that, or we agree that it's not a good one. There we go. Mouse Guard. Now that's one. Mouse Guard. If you get a chance to pick that up, basically do it. It's really good stories. And every year on Free Comic Book Day, the Mouse Guard, they're the only hardbacks that are given out on Free Comic Book Day. They're actually hardback books. And they look like the young weekly reader books that you used to get back in grade school. you know, you put in the order every week and get your hardback books, you know, and anyway, they look like that, but the reading inside is a lot more, I mean, it's great for all ages. It's another one, almost like Jellybee, but because it's got a cute characters and everything, but there's some good stories in there. So Mouse Guard, pick that one up. Sonic the Hedgehog's got a comic with a flip book of Mega Man, so one side is Sonic, the other side's Mega Man. And Teen Titans Go, which I think is atrocious, although Isaac loves it. The Teen Titans Go TV show, it's just, have you guys seen that?
No.
I think it's funny. Yeah. I really like it.
Really? I don't know. I can't, it's too funny, maybe. But the Teen Titans Go, I like the regular Teen Titans. Yeah, the Teen Titans Go, they got a comic book out on Free Comic Book Day. And there's a whole lot of them. Just go in and grab yourself a handful and see what grabs your attention, right?
Yep.
That's the only way to do it is just grab them yourself and see what grabs your attention rather than anybody else. So, all right, well, that's what Free Comic Book Day is about. We kind of gave you a little review on some of them, good or bad, take it, leave it. But either way, bring your kids and have them pick out a comic or two because that's what it's about is getting them involved as well. All right, guys, anything else you want to talk about?
One more thing. I forgot to bring this up when we were talking about the movies, but I just saw an announcement on the Nerdist website. does anyone remember the 80s cartoon Jem, J-E-M?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Jem is truly outrageous. Well, they have greenlit a movie. And this is so confusing to me because I am out of the loop on a lot of these things, but unless I'm mistaken, this show hasn't been, that series hasn't been on TV for several decades.
1985.
Who even knows? Who is their target market on this? I mean, if it's preteen girls don't know who Jem is. Mm-hmm. I mean, whose idea was it to greenlight this movie?
Jem and the Holograms. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember doing everything I can to avoid watching that on television. It looked like a Barbie doll show. So
I think it essentially was.
Yeah.
But I mean, at least people now still know who Barbie is, but who knows who Jem is?
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at the cast of the original cartoon here, and none of them, I don't recognize any of them, but then again, that doesn't mean anything. But Jem is slated to come out 2016. It's in production, or they're working on it. A young owner of a music company uses revolutionary tech to disguise herself as a rock star. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it sounds truly outrageous.
Yeah.
I'm with Eric on this. This absolutely mystifies me. I don't understand why this is getting made.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, someone paid money to license the title.
Yeah. and why? Yeah, again, why? So
I don't get it. I mean, I guess we live in a world where they made a movie out of a Battleship board game, so, I mean, anything could happen.
But look how that turned out, though. I guess we'll rate this one right up there with it too. So yeah, I remember hearing about that being announced last week, and I'm like, what? I could just I remember the not much about it. Yeah, I tried everything I could to avoid watching that show. Oh man, you never know what's going to happen in the world. Well, you know what it is, Eric. Here, Eric and Tim, I figured it out. This is it. This is why they greenlighted it. Right now, comic book movies are awesome. So why not? This is a comic book type of character, right? Nope. See? Okay, I don't understand the green light part then. Like, sure, go ahead. Comic book movies are big. All right. Well, anything else, guys, before we close out for the day?
Are we going to talk about video games?
Oh, I guess we should. Oh, I knew you were waiting for that one. Yeah, Isaac decides to join us now. Video games. We'll close out with some video game talk. I did mention Avengers Alliance, but anyway. Isaac? What do you got to talk about? I know you got something.
Well, this isn't exactly slightly video game related because it's related to my channel, but as you guys were recording this, I did a cover of Let It Go on Frozen, but with Vegeta, Piccolo, and Boo's voice from Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
Because I do a pretty good Vegeta voice, if I say so myself.
You guys fans of Dragon Ball Z?
Never watched it.
What is wrong with you?
What'd you say, Tim?
I'm a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Yes, I've been keeping up on the episodes.
That is by far the best thing on YouTube, I think.
Pretty much.
Well, actually, Isaac, I thought you were going to talk about the Spider-Man 2 game.
Oh, yeah. I was going to talk about, you know, that. I was really just planning on talking about what I just did, but yeah, Spider-Man 2. I pre-ordered it a while back. it's going to have Carnage in it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Hey, well, yeah, basically he pre-ordered through GameStop, and you got a bunch of extra costumes, including, what was that one, Noir Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Spider-Man Noir, which is very an interesting character. I haven't never seen him in comics, but...
I think he was in, like, a comic run where everyone had their own kind of noir outfit. Oh.
I think, yeah, Marvel Noir. So, yeah, so that's coming out April 29th. It's going to be the new Amazing Spider... Is it Amazing Spider-Man 2?
They said it kind of goes along... It's going along with the story, but at the same time, there's times where it will not be with the story. Carnage and Shocker, for prime example.
Yeah, and plus they got... But they do have the Jamie Foxx version of Electro in the video game, so the blue character. So.
And they have the Green Goblin and Rhino.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the Amazing Spider-Man 2. We've got a pre-order. We're anxious to try that out. You got that for the Wii U, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I want to play it. So, all right, so go check out Isaac's videos. I know for a fact that they're linked on the Nerd Up Podcast Blogspot page. So it's nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. Now, a lot of you get this through an RSS subscription or iTunes. Hey, take the time. Visit the page once in a while. There's some interesting stuff we keep posted on there. Also, make sure you're a friend of ours or a fan of ours or however they're wording it nowadays on Facebook. The Nerd Up Podcast is on Facebook, and we post some of the, you know, nerdy news stories coming up. We post questions about, you know, what do you think about this coming up? So you might want to check that out. That's on the Nerd Up Podcast page, which is facebook.com/TheNerdUpPodcast.
As long as we're talking about video games, I've been discussing this recently with a friend of mine that's a video game nut. I just recently played through Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1 and 2 on the PC. Now, I'd played both of those games back in the day on the PlayStation, but it's been a while since I played either of them. I don't know, I really enjoyed them a lot more playing through the campaigns this time. And one thing that did stand out is the graphic quality on the PC is so much better than it was on the PlayStation. As a matter of fact, you know, I played through Call of Duty Ghost, which is the most recent entry in the series. And the graphics, especially on Modern Warfare 2, are not really very far removed from Ghost. In fact, I would have a lot of trouble comparing them side by side and being able to identify one as being, you know, years later technology after the other one. But anyway, they're good campaigns, much better, I think, than the Treyarch, the Black Ops stories, which I find to be completely incomprehensible. But anyway, there's that.
Well, you know,
that's because PC always has the best graphics.
Oh yeah,
that's true. Now I will say I have not played any of the Call of Duty games. I'm not much of the warfare type games player, but the only times I ever see those being played is when it's just people against each other. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a storyline be played on any of those games.
Well, that seems to be where the series has been going, and the single player campaigns have been getting shorter and shorter, and less attention's been paid to them because most of the kids today, they're more into the multiplayer. And I don't know, I basically probably because I'm an older guy and my reflexes aren't what they used to be, and I don't have hours of free time to get good at multiplayer. I like the single player experience more. I like the story and I like a linear path from point A to point Z, but yeah, it's just me.
I'm with you on that. It's us old guys should not be playing multiplayer because, yeah, we can't keep up with these whippersnappers. I love playing the storyline. Tim, give us some more information on the Greensboro Film Festival that you got going.
Well, you can contact me at any time if you'd like to screen a film, or if you're in the Greensboro area, we'll be screening films the first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at a great place called Geeksboro Coffee House and Cinema.
Nice. I like the name.
Come on down. Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great place. It's pretty much the nerdiest location on the face of the earth. You can go down there. They have special board game nights. They have trivia nights. They have anime nights. I mean, they have all kinds of nerdy pursuits can be found there.
And what's the website again?
GreensboroFilmWorks.com.
All right. Yeah, it's also on our Facebook page for those of you that didn't catch it in time, but you can check it out there. So, yeah, if you like indie films, there's the place to be. Go to the Nerd Up Podcast page, check it out, and enjoy. And in the meantime, let's get out of here, guys. I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter, at Gil Wilson.
Eric Billingsley, you can reach me at Eric Bill, ERICBILL.
And I'm Tim. You can find me at Tim Gone Mad.
And I'm Vegeta, but I don't use Twitter.
All right, so that's the Nerd Up podcast for this week. Once again, stay nerdy. Nerd Up!
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.